Welcome, welcome. It is Monday afternoon, Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm Brady Hull, joined as always, until I'm not, by the one and only Colfax. Well, if you're like off, I'm not joined by you, so it doesn't, joined as always, does it never really works, Colfax.
There's never an always in this world.
There's never an always. I don't. That's a good
think about that
thoughts.
One.
Yeah. Thoughts for today. Colfax, is tomorrow the big day?
What's going on?
The big day.
Top Text Tuesday. Yeah, I can't wait for Top Text Tuesday.
Top Text Tuesday, of course. But there was a little bracket tournament challenge thingy that took place last month, and we had our little side bet. And I finished third, and there's two guys above me, and their names were not Colfax. Ooh. So that would lead me to believe that you have lost the whole show bracket challenge, which is going to plant you on the roof tomorrow. But I do hear good things, like we're going to go out for pizza afterward.
Okay.
Like
oh, yeah.
Michael's buying. Michael Kirkpatrick.
Perfect.
Backup producer extraordinaire.
Well, I'm looking at the weather here, and I'm not sure how that roof is looking.
Do we need to reschedule?
We might need to reschedule.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a little crazy, so I was thinking about that. We did put that in as a caveat last week, that if the weather was a little nutty, we would take a look at something else. So we can, you know what? We can do that. Just because you're such a great sport about it. And, well, to be real honest, Colfax, we don't want that sign to get ruined. I don't want to have to make that. An intern made that sign like 3 years ago.
She put a lot of hard work into it.
If that gets ruined, who else is going to make it?
It's not going to happen.
Right. So
it's the one and only.
We don't want that sign to get wet or anything. So let's just be careful with you, of course, but the sign.
The sign.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your concern.
Because I have a feeling you'd want to use the sign as like an umbrella at some point, and that would be bad. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We'll wait for a nice sunny day.
We'll wait for a gorgeous day. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that. Man, I got some stuff today. I have some juice. I have inside information. All that. We're going to talk about UNC football. We're going to talk about the Denver Nuggets, the Denver Broncos. My game of the week is not a local game, so we're going to get to that. Mike Malone, whew, yesterday was rough, borderline unacceptable, 105-87. And I say borderline unacceptable, Colfax, because if I say to you, losing to the Celtics 105-87 is unacceptable, well, it happened. So you got to get over it. This is basketball. You move on. Tonight, they play. You got to move on. And, you know, if you want to be the best team in the NBA, you want to win a title, you have to do what great teams do. They learn from miserable performances, and then they bounce back. See our text line here already. Eastside Chris, please ask Dempsey. Chris, don't call me. Christopher Dempsey of Altitude TV. Next time you talk, what's the plan for McGee? Are the Nuggets resting, saving him for playoffs, or was this a bad pickup? Since joining the Nuggets, his minutes are practically nil. Go Chiefs. Yeah. That's a problem. The way he's using JaVale McGee or lack thereof, you didn't even see JaVale in this one, and you were outscored. Your bench was primarily outscored, but you were outscored as a team 31-8 in the fourth quarter. I got to tell you, man, this is the game last night. I'll admit. Was probably their worst performance, second half worst performance of the season. I got a lot of thoughts on Mike Malone, and let's just go here. Mike Malone was asked about whining. He brought it up. He did say something about, yeah, we kind of got in this mode of whining and looking for the foul call. Mike Malone was asked about that, specifically about Nikola Jokic and what this did for the rest of the team.
We're in the middle of six games in 9 days. We play again tomorrow night. Weren't getting much traction. So it's you're worried about this game, but you're also thinking about, you know, what's coming around the corner. But regarding Nikola, you know, he gets frustrated with the referees and what he perceives to be a lack of calls. And you understand that, but, you know, that can never take you away from your duty as a basketball player. So that's something that, he, myself, and all of us can definitely be better at. But the most of the decision was just getting him out. We're still down by 12 points at that time. Let's try something different. AG at the five, see if we can get an athletic big on the rim, four smalls. Obviously, it didn't help. Nothing helped in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, nothing's going to help you when you remove your best player when you're down 12. I get where he's coming from. Joker's frustrated. It's like, let's just be done with this stupid game. Sit down. Don't get pissed off. Don't get a fine or anything like that. But don't give me the whole, we wanted to try something different. He's the league's best player. So if you can't do it with him, you ain't doing it with anybody else. As far as the McGee thing, McLean texts in, McGee's not being saved. He's a veteran player, locker room presence with three rings. He's not being saved, but Malone has to make a decision here. Paul Millsap, Jermichael Green, JaVale McGee, those are your three guys that are fighting for playoff time. And I got to say this, you know, I like the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But Jermichael Green, Paul Millsap, we kind of know what we're getting with those guys as a Denver Nugget. Would JaVale McGee, look, listen, JaVale McGee's a, as much as I say the three rings and all that stuff, JaVale McGee's a specialty player. He's high energy as far as getting the crowd involved. He's going to block shots. He's going to rebound. And occasionally he's going to surprise you with some nice scoring inside. But he's not shooting outside. He loses that. Millsap has that. Jermichael Green has that. So you have to be very careful. If you're willing to say, Jermichael Green, maybe we should limit his minutes. Maybe we should limit Millsap's minutes, if I can spit that out. My goodness. Then you have to be ready to. That was one of the perks, right? The fact that they had big men that can shoot the basketball, except for Mason Plumlee. Well, JaVale McGee is a Mason Plumlee, only a little bit taller and longer and more of an ability to block shots. That's essentially what you're getting. Probably less as far as even a one-on-one player. McGee is Kenneth Faried on steroids. So I like JaVale McGee. It wasn't a bad pickup. It was worth it. You didn't do much to get him. He's an insurance kind of guy. He's a locker room presence. But I get that fans want to see him more. But you got to be careful because this team has really morphed into everybody can shoot the ball. Everybody can shoot the ball. Like Hartenstein could not shoot the ball. They moved on from him. JaVale McGee was basically swapped out. That's your utility guy that you might need later down the road or in a matchup hits, maybe a Lakers matchup. But he's not going to be a big-time presence. He's not going to be a consistent presence, a game-changer, so to speak, for the Nuggets. I talked about the technical foul that Mike Malone had last week. And that seemed to get the guys pumped up. And listen, it's one game, so we're not going to freak out here. But we've been catching it more and more. Go to Twitter during a Nuggets game. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if the Nuggets... I'm a Nuggets fan. You know me. But Nuggets fans, you're sounding like a bunch of whiny every time down the floor. And here's the problem. What have I always said that drives me crazy about offense in the NBA or offense in basketball? It's when you go up for a shot, but you're not going up for a shot. What are you doing? You're trying to get a foul. You're trying to get a foul call. So you're driving, and as soon as contact's made, you throw it up. La la! That's how they sound when they do that every time. La! Nikola Jokic got stuck in that habit yesterday. A lot of times, I mean, I've never seen him shoot that poorly inside. I'm always amazed at how many things he does and how many shots he can make. But there were times when these were fairly easy, fairly routine shots for Nikola Jokic. And he'd go up expecting a foul, so he'd just throw the ball up in the air. Wouldn't get the foul, missed the shot because it wasn't even really a shot. And the officials didn't bail him out. This is where Mike Malone getting ejected, I wonder, okay, I thought it was good. I thought it was going to be like a momentum, even more of a momentum builder because they were hot. Is this something that's backfiring? Is this something that now Mike Malone is basically making it known that we're getting robbed each and every night, and I'm getting tired of it. Nikola Jokic is getting fouled, but they're not calling anything. Well, now the players are starting to look for those fouls even more so. I've just noticed it specifically, and particularly these last couple of weeks, even during this run. It's amazing. Yeah, Joker went to the line 7 times. It's not like Joel Embiid. I'll admit, the refs seem to not catch a lot of what Nikola Jokic does, but I don't know if he's helping his case. I don't know if Malone's helping his case. This is a habit that Joker needs to break now, today, right now. Go up, play your game. The fouls will come. Play your game. Do not try to create. You can create contact, but don't, as soon as contact is getting close, don't just throw it up in the air. That's what James Harden does, and it works for him. That's not Nikola Jokic's game. So I want to be very, very careful with that. Texter here, I don't see McGee being a regular rotation player in the postseason. I don't either. I really don't. In fact, I don't know how much we'll see Paul Millsap, to be honest with you. His minutes are decreasing. That is a bad game. It was an awful game. You know, Celtics are a playoff team, so it's not like he got embarrassed in the fourth by a like terrible team. They're going to be in Boston's going to be in the playoffs. This team just out-physical Denver. They frustrated everybody. The shots weren't falling. Michael Porter Jr. shots weren't there. He had 22, but it's still 9 for 23. A lot of his damage came early. He's 1 for 12. 1 for 12 from the three-point line. And still, no Jamal Murray. So this is one of those games that you have to wash away. You can use it as a learner. I tweeted this last night and said, hey, maybe this is one of those nasty games that needed to happen for Denver before we get into that, you know, the final stretch of the season. 17 minutes after the hour, Colfax, let's jump over to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me, Harrison Wynn talked about this with us, about how the Nuggets were on such a great win streak, and they really were. That whole road trip and the last few games that they put together, it was phenomenal. It was a hell of a run by this team, and you have to be happy. But the Nuggets went on such a streak and did something that they haven't done since 2013.
Jokic has it with 4 to shoot, dribble drive in the lane, hang, and he has. Porter, he's got a 17-footer. That's sweet. Jokic in the lane, hook shot is beautiful. Jokic surveying, double, wide open is Morris, straight away, got it again. 2-point lead for the Nuggets, 6 seconds to go. Keldon Johnson's on the run. The shot is blocked. And at the buzzer, the Nuggets have won it.
That was a crazy game, too. That was courtesy of Altitude Sports, Altitude TV. Michael Porter Jr. saves the game defensively. That was the Spurs game on Friday. Nuggets have now, in that streak, they won 8 games in a row. It was their longest win streak of the Nikola Jokic era. And it was their longest since 2013. All came to a crashing end on Sunday. The bad? Is it starting? The Rockies are 3-7. They just got swept by the Giants.
German Marquez, the pitcher for the Rockies today.
Here's Dickerson. Dickerson, high drive. Right center field. It is over here. And the Giants lead 1-0. Dickerson, second of the year.
And here comes Evan Longoria.
Up the middle, and it's going to cost him a run. Here comes Belt. It's 2-0.
Well, that was a rough outing. Marquez settled down later on, but I think he threw 50, almost 50 pitches in the first inning. That inning took, I mean, seriously, it took forever in that game to get done with. And you have to be pretty frustrated with the way Marquez has started the season. One okay performance, 2 pretty rough performances. One of those was a win. Tough start for the Rocks. Now 3-7 off today. And oh, play the Dodgers tomorrow. That'll be fun. As for the ugly, yeah, that second half for the Nuggets.
Capasso behind the back. And Walker should ride this in. He does. Campaso turned it over again. And Brown hollering all the way. Barton.
Oh, my goodness.
And they take it away. Oh, man. That is just a horrible sequence for the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, my.
And Brown. Wow. That
insult to injury.
Well, it's kind of like you back in high school when you got ready for the prom and you're pretty much sure, I got my girlfriend, I know I'm going to go to the prom, and then she dumps you right before the prom and you realize, I shouldn't have taken that for granted. And that's what the Nuggets did in the game tonight.
I love a good prom reference inside of an Altitude TV broadcast. Way to go, Scott. 20 minutes after the hour, our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Which area college football coach are you most excited to see in a full slash real football season in 2021? Eddie Mack, Carl Durrell, or Steve Adazio? We'll go read the results. We're also going to talk to the voice of the Bears, who was at that scrimmage on Saturday against Shadron State on Saturday afternoon. Get his thoughts. And the rumor mill is churning, Colfax, and we got some movement going on with the UNC football's coaching staff. We'll talk about that and so much more next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Spring is in the air, and that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, the voice of the UNC Bears, Jason Alvine. Jason, a scrimmage on Saturday, and I want to get into some specifics there, but this was interesting. The rumor mill was churning on Saturday morning. We were hearing some that perhaps there were some changes going on with the coaching staff, that McCaffrey had parted ways with a few guys on the offensive side of the ball. Then this story comes out, footballscoop.com, which I would say pretty reliable as they broke the Mike Bobo story a few years back for Colorado State, saying that Ed McCaffrey parted ways with offensive coordinator Dave Baldwin, who we've had on this show, who was his receivers coach at Stanford, and their running backs coach. Jason, I don't know. Again, you were out there at the scrimmage to cover the scrimmage, so I doubt that was a big topic of conversation because the timing was so strange. But have you heard anything on your end?
Honestly, I have not. I kind of, like you said, the rumor mill was buzzing on Saturday. You know, obviously, Coach McCaffrey was back there calling plays. He was very visible on the offensive side of the ball. Behind, he was calling plays from behind the offensive formation. So he was down on the field level, you know, making all the adjustments, making the plays. But, you know, as you said, the rumor mill was churning. And as you tweeted out, footballscoop.com had that information. And again, it looked like to me that McCaffrey was the guy calling the shots there Saturday afternoon.
And again, I know you can't speak too much on this, but this would be very interesting, considering the fact, Jason, the Bears haven't played a real game. Yeah, a couple of scrimmages under their belt, but they didn't play in the fall, opted out of the spring just to do a few scrimmages with fairly, you know, nearby teams such as CSU Pueblo and Shadron State. But this would be interesting considering the timing and also considering the relationship with Coach McCaffrey and Dave Baldwin.
Well, that's the thing that just kind of surprises me is they go back so long as Baldwin, as you mentioned, was McCaffrey's position coach in college there at Stanford as a receivers coach, and he's been around a lot of different places, most notably and most recently at Oregon State up there. And, you know, their relationship, you know, obviously, I guess, couldn't hold through on this, and then maybe they didn't see eye on some stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, Coach McCaffrey is the guy that he's got head coach on his office door, and he's got to make these tough decisions. And again, weird timing maybe, but again, maybe it does allow you to hire somebody coming off maybe somebody that has played in the spring that you got to, you know, eye on or something. You know, it is. It's just weird. Everything's weird right now because you have some teams playing in this spring, you know, format. Weber State wins the quote-unquote Big Sky Championship for the fourth straight year, you know, even though there's a handful of teams that didn't compete in the spring. Cal Poly opted out during this time. So everything is weird right now. Timing certainly isn't ideal, but it makes more sense to do it now at the end of spring ball than wait into to get into August and all of a sudden you're like, well, this isn't working. Let's you know, split ways. And then all of a sudden you're searching with time to camp and, you know, 3 or 4 days before your home opener or whatever the case may be. It makes a little bit more sense right now to just get it done if it wasn't working out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, again, if more of that story comes out. And, of course, who will be the running backs coach, sure, but the offensive coordinator. I know that's kind of the bigger talk, especially because of the relationship. Jason, so we won't see Dylan McCaffrey, the other McCaffrey, until next year. So we got to see, or until next season, I suppose. So we got to see, the guys that were perhaps going to be on the start of this depth chart, at least Andrew Brister, Connor Martin, Alec Lewis, Zach Rush. What stood out to you maybe on that quarterback side of things?
Well, honestly, I thought all the quarterbacks had really good days. They were clean. They didn't turn the ball over, which is huge in that position. They didn't force a lot of throws. The one thing that maybe stood out that each of them maybe missed an opportunity on a deep ball that would have been, you know, game-changing type touchdown throws in that scrimmage against Shadron State. So that was maybe the one thing that you would have liked to have seen from those guys, is a little bit more consistency with the deep ball, because they did have the receivers that were able to get a step on, you know, the Shadron State defensive backs. And, you know, obviously no surprise, you know, a Cassidy Woods and a Jonah Morris, two of the transfers that have brought in from Akron and Washington State, they should be able to get a step on Shadron State defensive backs. I mean, when you look at the competition that they're used to going up against and coming to the scrimmage. But those are plays that have to be hit. There's no question about it. I really liked Andrew Brister, his ability to push the ball downfield. He didn't play like a freshman. He was poised and calm, and obviously, you know, the lineage there with Bubby Brister being his father, a guy that was instrumental in the Broncos Super Bowl runs there in the late 90s, a teammate of McCaffrey's as well. But he really looked good. Connor Martin, again, was efficient and moved the offense down. He was able to punch into the end zone and had a nice deep ball for a touchdown to Cassidy Woods. So it was a good day for that quarterback room for sure. No question, they really impressed me. Now, again, they're still going into next season. You know, if it was to stay the same, obviously you get Dylan McCaffrey added to that room. But the guys that played on Saturday don't have a collegiate snap under their belt. So with that being said, you know, that's probably the reason why Dylan McCaffrey comes in and makes his mark and will compete for that job.
Yeah, and that's the key word there, Jason. I'm glad you brought that up, compete for that job. I had talked to a few people back during the Zoom call months ago, I guess, when it was announced that Dylan McCaffrey was transferring from Michigan to UNC, that maybe they would hoped that Coach McCaffrey would have spun it a little bit differently as Dylan was coming to compete for the job. Not necessarily it's his job to lose. Is it a full-on competition, do you think, or is this a foregone conclusion? It's going to be Dylan, that, you know, where he was before, plus who's the head coach. I mean, is there really going to be a competition?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, Brady. And I mean, you look at Connor Martin, he's not going to go down without a fight. Andrew Brister, he wants to compete. You know, Dylan McCaffrey with the accolades, the top 300 player coming out of high school at Valor Christian, you know, goes to Michigan, has some playing time there, has the experience coming in, and with the father-son relationship that he has with Ed McCaffrey being the head coach, all lines and all indications point to him starting. But he's got to go in there and compete and win. And again, Connor Martin's a guy, he's going to compete. He wants to play football. All these guys want to play football. So, I don't necessarily know if it will be a competition per se, but you can bet that Connor Martin and the guys that are in the quarterback room right now are going to not back down from a competition with Dylan McCaffrey.
Jason, was Bubby Brister out there? Andrew Brister? I know Christian McCaffrey was out there. Saw pictures. Was Bubby out there too?
Bubby was there. I didn't get a chance to speak with Bubby. Gave the old head nod to Christian as he walked by a couple times. But there was definitely a good crowd out just for the scrimmage, and a lot of Shadron State family as well showed up. It was really exciting to see kind of the juice and energy that the fan base had, considering this was kind of an awkward, you know, thrown together at the last minute type scrimmage that they were able to compete and come out. And so I was really intrigued and impressed by the fans that were there. And obviously you do get some headliners when Ed McCaffrey is the coach. There's going to be a few connections that can be made to NFL past and NFL present as well.
Jason, you, you obviously, when you were announced as being the voice of the Bears, haven't done a football game yet, so, but you do have a great history with the University of Northern Colorado. What's it like for you personally? You just said it. Going out there to a scrimmage felt like an event. I mean, I wasn't out there, but I'm watching the videos. I'm watching everything via Twitter and social media, and I'm thinking, wow, that scrimmage seems a little more lively than perhaps a game the last 5-10 years.
Well, having come back, and again, you know, being removed from Northern Colorado for 5 years, and having been at Montana State, and we came to Greeley last year, or was that 2019? I guess would have been the last football games played between Northern Colorado and Montana State. I really was impressed with the support on Saturday afternoon. I know that people in this area, in the Northern Colorado, will come out and they will support a team that gets the W's on Saturday. So there's no question about that. And the past few years, Northern Colorado has struggled to come by the ways of in the win column. And that's just an unfortunate fact. And, you know, there is some excitement. Ed McCaffrey does bring that extra juice, so to speak, as far as getting people out. I mean, there's going to be people that are intrigued that just want to come watch Ed McCaffrey coach. Like, let's be real honest. There's going to be people that are interested in that. And so I think the hype is there. I think the performance, certainly from what we saw on Saturday, was, very, very good, considering it's been since 2019 that these guys have really played any sort of football. I mean, they had spring ball last year that was abbreviated because COVID, and I think they got 3 or 4 practices in before being shut down. And, you know, they haven't been rewarded with a game since 2019. And they play, everything was live except the kicking game. And, you know, punts, kickoffs, and extra points. Everything was live. And so it was great to see these guys get out there and bang heads and get against a different color jersey. And there was some excitement. And again, I was very impressed for a mid-April Saturday afternoon. The crowd that showed up to support this team.
Jason, this is almost an impossible question to answer because we don't really know what a lot of these teams are going to look like in the conference. As you said, Weber State, but so many teams opted out. What do you think? Do you see an instant improvement next season in the win-loss column? Do you see Ed McCaffrey and this group, Dylan McCaffrey, whatever it looks like at quarterback, and just the fact that you have fans excited, do you see an instant improvement in that win-loss column next season?
Well, I think that one thing that Coach McCaffrey has been able to do and has had the time to do is recruit a lot of guys that can play. Like, you look at it, and Aaron and I were making the comment, you know, guys were making plays, and we're looking at the roster. It's like, oh, transfer from Cincinnati, transfer from Akron, you know, and then Cassidy Woods made a couple of nice catches, and one on a fourth down and a big touchdown catch, transfer from Washington. So Coach McCaffrey has had time to go out and get some guys, drop down guys, and with the way that the transfer portal is part of the college culture right now, I think he's done a fantastic job elevating the talent at Northern Colorado. So I do think there will be an immediate change in the win-loss column, and fair or unfair to Ernest Collins, I think that because McCaffrey's had the time to do it, this team looks a lot different than it did at the end of 2019.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have told anybody a year and a half ago that Christian McCaffrey was going to be in Greeley, Colorado, watching a UNC Bears scrimmage, they would have thought it was crazy. Now you look at it, and it's like, holy cow, Christian McCaffrey. This is like, you know, it's the roll out the red carpet, man. It's the star-studded. So McCaffrey's got the star power, no question about it. And I think you're right. I mean, it's a beacon setting up for a lot of potential recruits looking right now, and now's the time for the Bears to capitalize.
100%. And in a program that has been struggling, the opportunity for a lot of these guys to come play immediately is probably what stood out to them. Because, you know, if you're buried on the depth chart at Washington State or Akron or whatever the case may be, TCU, you get an opportunity to drop in. I saw it firsthand at Montana State a couple of different times with Washington transfers. They drop a couple of those guys down in Bryce Sterk and Jason Skrempos, and those guys turn into all Big Sky performers. And so Bryce Sterk was a guy that didn't get a lot of run at University of Washington, comes down and instantly makes Montana State better, instantly makes their defensive line maybe one of the best in the country. And so I think there's a lot of these guys, and especially with this receiving core, I saw a lot of promise with the receiving core that I saw on Saturday. They have the guys that are returning. I don't want to take away from the guys that are returning. But you add those big frames on the outside at 6'4", a piece on the outside, then that allows some of these other guys, Jaron Mitchell, Sam Fields, to maybe get into that slot and create plays over the middle. And there were plays that were made, and I loved it. It was one, it was great to be out, perfect day for football. But just to be out calling football again and seeing it played, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I know you and Aaron Rath put together some great clips and great calls on our Facebook page. As you said, it was kind of, I don't want to say thrown together, but it was, everything was kind of like last minute. So we had a couple of obligations on Saturday, but we were able to get you guys out for a Facebook Live, and a lot of updates there still available for folks to check out. So Jason, really appreciate that, man. That was a great inside look that Bears fans could get that maybe, you know, they couldn't expect it to get any other time.
Well, exactly. I mean, we late notice, as you mentioned, and so we kind of did what we could do. We apologize. It was my first time Facebook living on my own here, and the Wi-Fi was a little spotty the first time, so we got kicked off, and we went to my phone, and it overheated. And so there was definitely some points where we were figuring things out, but we eventually made the switch to Aaron's hotspot on his phone and moved seamlessly through the second half of that scrimmage. But a lot of fun, like we said, a lot of fun just to be out there calling football. And I am excited to see what Ed McCaffrey brings to the program, not just, you know, the name recognition, but how he's able to match X's and O's with a lot of these coaches, Jay Hill over at Weber State, you know, Aaron Best up at Eastern Washington, a lot of these schools that have the tradition and everything rolling for him right now. I'm excited to see what Ed McCaffrey can do against these guys when it all comes down to it next fall.
No question about it. Jason, appreciate you, man, and loved your calls with basketball, but I'm really looking forward to hearing you on the football side of things next fall.
As am I. Appreciate you, Brady.
All right, man. Jason Alvin, the voice of the UNC Bears. And I got to tell you, Colfax, I am very intrigued by this whole Ed. Aren't you? Isn't this a story? This whole Ed McCaffrey thing is absolutely a story that really has yet to be told. It's like the previews for the big-time movies, the blockbuster movies, that feels like it's been out for 4 years now, and you're just seeing these previews. What? I can't wait to finally watch this. This is what it is with McCaffrey. And it got a little more juicy after moving on from Dave Baldwin. Here's the thing about Baldwin. He's an older guy. And he almost retired when Coach McCaffrey went back. Remember that? We had Baldwin. I don't know if we had him in here or if we had him on the phone. I really can't even remember anymore because COVID, we haven't had any in-studio guests for a very long time. But I remember talking to him, and it was kind of like, hey, you know, this is one of those opportunities coming back with McCaffrey, with Ed. And, you know, I really like, he was kind of done. He was ready to be done with football. So I wonder if it was more or less, hey, I'll be there for the first year, and we'll jumpstart this baby, and then I'll leave you to it. Well, we didn't have that first year, so I wonder if he got to the end and he's like, man, maybe it's just too much. I don't know. Again, this is from footballscoop.com, and I know I tend to trust them, and I had a big-time source that I count on actually forward this story to me. So that's where I got it. And these guys have been right most of the time. In fact, they broke the story about Mike Bobo. I don't know how they do it. I don't know who they have giving them this information. It's quite the impressive job that they do. But that UNC did move on from their offensive coordinator and their running backs coach, but specifically Dave Baldwin, with those ties to McCaffrey. That was at footballscoop.com. 42 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's jump out of here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Nobody wants to have that discussion. Nobody wants to deal with that, but we're all going to have to. So if you can, if you're in that position where you can say, all right, I'm going to take care of everything now and then put it away, and we don't have to deal with it. And then when the worst case scenario happens, which it will, your family that's grieving in that moment won't have to worry about a lot of those ins and outs that comes with planning the funeral. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. First Advantage, text line 970-478-1301. Well, you said something interesting during the break about McCaffrey as far as a win-loss record. You just get this sense maybe that it's not for long.
I don't think so, man. I don't think it would take much for him to get a more lucrative job offer.
Because of people looking at what he's brought already to Greeley.
Like, we just did the math. There's 11 games this upcoming season.
Yeah, first one against the Buffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if they win that game,
Ed's gone the next day. I'm out of here, guys. Good luck, everybody. Dylan, pack your things.
We're going.
We're going, man.
I don't know. I think like a 500 record. And
so if you're if you're 6-5, you think that's it? Then he'll get a call and he's gone.
That's possible because it's more than just his wins. I mean, it's his, you know, the addition of wins from what we've seen over the past
few years. Right, they've won 3-2-2 in Ernest Collins Jr.'s last 3 years. 3-7, 2-9, 2-10.
So, I mean, even that would be a huge achievement. But that record alone with Ed McCaffrey's name attached to it, the star power, is what's...
Plus what you... And again, Jason just said it. I wasn't out there Saturday. But Saturday was felt like a little festival kind of deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw some people on Twitter saying we need to do this every year and make it like a compared to like a Broncos training camp. It's fun. And there's maybe they could get live music before the game and get the beer garden. I don't know what all the rules are there, but make it a hell of a thing, man. I mean, capitalize on it while you can and hopefully build a tradition now. And then Joe Schmo comes in to coach this team and you have it. But this is why they hired him. This was the reason they hired him. Does the Baldwin stuff scare you at all that this came out, this news came out pretty much the day of or day before, night before the scrimmage? You fire your offensive, or they move on or they agree to part ways with your offensive coordinator?
Not really. I mean, strange timing.
Yeah, if it were before a game, it'd be really bad. Yeah, but it's a scrimmage, it's practice, it's basically practice against another team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be more to it coming out. The running backs coach, all right, if it would have just been running backs coach, okay. But it was your guy that you have this great relationship with that you kind of more or less convinced to come out of retirement, if I'm understanding it all correctly. So
maybe that's what all it came down to is like you said earlier.
Maybe he was done.
Pretty much a mutual thing.
Maybe he was like, I was only going to do it for a year, man, and I want you to get through this scrimmage without me. And again, I'm painting it in a positive light. Hey, right. Go through the scrimmage and see what. And again, this is footballscoop.com. This is not confirmed from UNC's camp. I will say this. This is not confirmed from the University of Northern Colorado. I tried to confirm. I was not denied necessarily. I wasn't told yes or no. I was told more will come out. And then I got the football scoop story and I'm just putting two and two together. So, yeah, that's what it would seem. Anyway, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is, which coach are you more excited to see? You know, you got to see Carl Durrell, you got to see Steve Adazio, but both in shortened seasons. Who are you more excited to see with a full, real schedule? Steve Adazio, Ed McCaffrey, or Carl Durrell?
Honestly, I think Adazio. I think, you know, he has the most upside for his organization, and he has the most...
I think you're taking the football pick,
and I
like that. I respect that. I'm taking the People Magazine pick, Ed McCaffrey.
Ed McCaffrey.
Like, you know, we got a text that said, no, there's no doubt it has to be Coach Carl Durrell. The coach to be most excited about is Durrell down in Boulder. UNC is irrelevant. Ask Ed McCaffrey if they're irrelevant.
They're not irrelevant.
They might suck next year, but they got Ed freaking McCaffrey as their head coach. It's exciting for now. CSU continues to lose to FBS schools. The Pac-12 is among the very best. Let's go Buffs. I mean, I'm down to be excited for Carl Durrell.
Yeah.
But as far as the drama goes, this Ed McCaffrey thing
flat,
is appealing to me. So, all right, so you're going, yeah, man, we are blowing through breaks today. My goodness. It's good news. It's big news. You got UNC football we're talking about here. My goodness. And it's exciting to talk about it. And I love Ernest Collins Jr., but there's a sexy factor surrounding the University of Northern Colorado, and it's not just Christian McCaffrey. We'll be right back.
Donate to the Live United 1310-a-thon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100, and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, that if Dave Baldwin's gone, you know, I do wonder who's going to be the offensive coordinator. Do you just bring in another name? Are we going to see another Bronco from 2000 and or from 1997? Are we going to see Rod Smith come in, be the offensive coordinator? I got this one new. I did see this former UNC coach to lead Gateway High School football. Good for coach. He's getting another job at the high school side of things. Gateway High School in Aurora, school announced on Tuesday. Good for Coach Ernest Collins Jr., man. He's a great guy. You know, I was hoping he'd land, not that, you know, I'm not going to knock it, but I was hoping he'd land somewhere as a positions coach with another college team or something and get a chance to just get in a different environment. Who knows? Hey, he got the job at Gateway. So good luck to Ernest Collins Jr. Great guy. We've loved having him on the program. And by the way, if you guys missed my chat with Ed McCaffrey from last week, it's available at thewholeshow.com. Go to podcast, scroll down. You shall find it. Second hour coming up. Broncos talk, Nuggets talk, Mike Malone, Nikola Jokic. That Sunday was rough. We'll talk about it next.